Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. I'm happy to report that Mr. Franks was back in the office as of Tuesday, September 9th, having received the all-clear signal from his doctors to return full-time to work after his heart surgery about 10 weeks ago. It was really good to have him back and leading our weekly Tuesday morning staff meeting. We had one staff meeting with him via teleconference a few weeks ago, but to be all together in person was something we really appreciated. He will be here on In Accord in 2 weeks, and we'll have a full personal update for you at that time. Well, excitement is building, isn't it? We are just a little over a week from entering the third Holy Day season of the year with the Feast of Trumpets on Tuesday, September 23rd. And I'm sure feast fever is settling in over all of us as we prepare for this highlight of the year. Here in Texas, I've noticed there's a crispness in the morning air that we haven't felt in a long time. And there's that familiar whiff of the changing seasons that tell us the feast is on its way. Now, I suppose our friends in the Southern Hemisphere are saying there's a bit of warmth in the morning air as you're leaving winter and coming into spring. You know, for years I always talked in sermons about the fall Holy Day season until I went to South America for the feast, and then it had to register that for everyone I was speaking to in the Southern Hemisphere there, it's the spring Holy Day season. But they don't have any problem relating to the spiritual meaning of the last great harvest time of the year, and the symbolism is not lost on them just because the Feast of Tabernacles is in the springtime. Another sign that the feast is on its way is that all feast sites have speakers' meetings for a few weeks before to go over the topics being addressed and to make sure that no one is duplicating one another and maybe give some support and ideas. Last week, we held our meeting for those who will be in Mont-Tremblant, Quebec, as we will be. These meetings invariably make you eager to hear the messages, and they get you in the mood even more for the spiritual feast that we're going to receive. Now, one reason that I'm saying this is that this is a reminder that while every speaker appreciates the opening prayer at services, asking for God's inspiration, it's even more important now to be asking God to help us prepare the messages that we're going to be giving. So it's not too early, even now, to be praying for God's direction and His thoughts for us as every speaker is working on what they are going to be delivering. Now, we don't have a lot of other news to give you this week, so I'm going to do something that I decided to do a few months ago when we have these times when there's not a lot going on news-wise, and that is, occasionally when hosting In Accord, to feature some of the materials we have on Life, Hope, and Truth that I think sometimes, maybe often, get overlooked. I and others here at the office have had so many people say from time to time that they were unaware of some of the things that they find are on Life, Hope, and Truth. And in a way that's very understandable, Life, Hope, and Truth has an abundance of resources and information. There's so much that it can be overwhelming. It's sort of like a gold mine of spiritual guidance and information, but you have to know where to look. Recently, Mr. Taylor was talking with me about his split sermon at the Young Adult Leadership Weekend, in which he was encouraging the young people to make sure they are grounded in doctrine, to study the teachings of the Bible from a doctrinal point of view. He stressed the need to prove the things we believe for two reasons. One is to be able to defend the faith when you're confronted, and the second one is to be able to teach others and explain it. He had several practical suggestions for them, and those suggestions are applicable to all of us. His suggestions were, watch the fundamental belief classes that are on FI Online, and the other suggestions were to avail themselves of sources on Life, Hope, and Truth. He asked them to take the Bible study course, to go through the journeys, to use the infographics, and to go through the study guides. Now, those are indeed great pointers for ways to either learn about or refresh ourselves on the most important doctrines in God's Word. Now, on the March 6th In Accord, a few months ago, I covered the Bible study course and journeys in detail. So today I want to feature some of these other resources. Now, all of these are located in the Learning Center of Life Open Truth. Just click on the orange Visit the Learning Center tab, and it will open up to the Bible study course at the top, then the Encourage, Equip, and Inspire section for parents, and then below that are 9 study resources. Today, let's talk about the study guides. Now, these are just what they say. They are tools to lead you through a study of various topics ranging from doctrine to personal growth. We currently have 9 of those. They are the 5 R's of healing relationships, what you need to know about repentance and baptism, Bible study starters, beginnings, understanding the book of Genesis, that's parts 1 and 2. Does God exist? 5 keys to improving your marriage. 7 keys to better Bible study. Facts about the Sabbath. How to pray. You can download them or print out a copy for yourself, as I have here in this notebook. Some are long, such as the ones on Genesis, while others are somewhat short summaries. For the most part, they are self-explanatory by their titles, except for one. And that one is somewhat different from the others. It's the one called Bible Study Starters. Now, this study guide lays out 14 different topics that ask questions designed to help guide you through your own research and study. The questions are starters to prompt your study and thought, your own personal study and thought. Now, these subjects include the reason you were born, a closer look at the gospel of the kingdom, getting to know Jesus Christ, getting to know the God family, what the Bible has to say about studying the Bible, keys to happiness, loving your neighbor, practicing gratitude, strangers, pilgrims, and faith, what makes a good home, the perfect work of patience, obeying authority, quarantines and faith, a Passover introspective, and the last one is therefore do not worry. Now, why do we have these study starters? Well, there are several reasons. For one, sometimes we can feel a little overwhelmed by how much is in the Bible and maybe not know where to start in a study. These are designed to give you a ready-made structure for real study and reflection. They're not just articles that you read. They're designed to trigger reflection. For example, take the one on getting to know Jesus Christ. You see the summary statement and scriptures up front, and then a series follows of 8 questions. Question 5, for example, asks, for you, what is most comforting about the knowledge that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, Hebrews 4:15, and that he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Does this affect how you view him? Why or why not? As you can see, these questions are designed to help you study a scripture on this theme and then meditate on it. All the study starters are designed in the same way to give you a concise entry point into a topic and to kickstart your study. Second, they encourage personal reflection and application. For example, the one on practicing gratitude asks you to think about and identify some of the physical and spiritual blessings you have received and some of the trials you have experienced in life, and consider how they produced gratitude for what came from them. These are questions that are designed to encourage us to meditate on how we relate to God in life. A third reason is that the topics are broad and balanced. They range from covering foundational beliefs to building core spiritual maturity and even how to apply scripture to certain current live events, such as the one on quarantines and faith. Now, that was developed during the COVID years. And the first few questions dealt with the laws that God gave Israel and how they relate to today, and especially with regard to the issue of faith. But it goes on to explore the parallels to something even deeper, the principle of quarantining ourselves spiritually from sin. Very interesting study guides, I will say. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in this book, Paul told Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So this section of Life Open Truth is one that can help you do just that, what the Scripture is saying, to help you work through these things in a way to prove them so that you will never be ashamed, and how to rightly divide the word of truth. But I also think that many may not simply be aware that this exists on Life Open Truth, and that's why I wanted to bring it to your attention. Life Open Truth is our flagship vehicle for taking the gospel to the world, but it's certainly not just for the world. It's a very rich resource for us as well, no matter how long we've been in the church. I've mentioned in many of the International Leadership Program classes that it is one of the best resources available for developing sermons and sermonettes. And we add new topics to this section on occasion. When they become available, I print them out and put them in my notebook here just to have on my shelf for quick reference. I hope you will use these resources for your own personal study and growth, and also go on and explore the Learning Center if it's been a while since you've been there. There may be other treasures there that are yet undiscovered. Well, that will wrap it up for this week's In Accord. Please join us again next week when Mr. Britt Taylor will be your host. And from all of us here at the office, please have a wonderful Sabbath. And enjoy your feast fever as it builds even more in the coming days.